com. First National Bank. Dream first, because you can. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Coming right in from the lobby.
To get ourselves a treat.
Alan Adams joining us in studio for Pass the Popcorn on this Monday afternoon. Hi, Al.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Fabulous, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm rolling in here. I'm trashing the joint. I'm sorry about that. Knocking stuff over.
Quite all right. Quite all right. How was the first day of fall finding you today?
Man, like, we're in my sweet spot as far as the weather goes. Yeah. So,
I'm just saying, this morning I was sitting on the porch drinking coffee, t-shirt, hoodie, shorts, and I said, you would appreciate that.
I do very much. I unfortunately can't wear shorts to work.
No.
So, that's kind of a bummer, but I'm looking forward to some long sleeve, long sleeves on top, short sleeves on bottom kind of situation. So, I'm very much looking forward to that.
Excellent. How was your weekend?
Busy.
Yeah,
no, we had a lot going on.
Wow.
It was kind of nuts. Yeah, we were joking last night. We Bangored about as hard as you can Bangor over the past 4 days.
Nice.
We went to the opening reception at the Zillman Museum Thursday evening, which was very cool. We had some friends over for dinner on Friday, which was lovely. On Saturday, we're getting our shed worked on, so we had some of that going on in the morning. And then we went to opening night of Birthday Candles at PTC, which we'll talk about a little bit.
Excellent.
If
and
that's
then
okay.
Must have gone to the symphony yesterday.
We went to the symphony yesterday, yes. Which was lovely. We had a fun little surprise. I don't know if you heard about this, but turns out that Lucas Richmond, who is the music director and conductor of the BSO, you probably knew he does some film score work. He worked on the upcoming Salem's Lot movie,
right,
and premiered a piece from that score. As part of, it wasn't on the program. It was just like a total surprise. So that was very cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And then we checked out the night market last night. We hadn't been we hadn't been there before, so we went and took Stella down and took a stroll around. I had no idea.
It's very cool.
I was surprised by the scale of it. Like, I didn't realize how big a thing it was, but it was very cool to just sort of get out and just, I don't know, to just see people out and about. It was,
you did some Bangor.
We Bangored real hard.
Nice, nice. Want to mention, before we talk about the theater and movies and stuff, what's coming up this week? Absolutely one of the highlights of the year every year for the focus group.
Yeah, no, it's we're going to the dogs once again. We're doing our annual fundraising show for the folks at Bangor Humane Society. The show's September 27th, this Friday, 8 p.m. At the Bangor Arts Exchange, and the next day will be their annual Pause on Parade fundraiser. I think this is the 9th or 10th time that we've done this, and it's just a real great opportunity to just sort of raise awareness and a little bit of money ahead of this huge event. And you know, they do amazing work, the folks over at the Humane Society, and as a group who have largely been touched by rescue pets, it's nice to have the opportunity to give back a little bit. Like, I know they're excited about it, we're excited about it. I think everybody should be excited about it. The more the merrier. Let's pack the place.
And I love the way the Bangor Humane Society and the group has been promoting it with some special friends spreading the word.
It was really nice. I reached out to Catherine Ravenscraft and was just like, hey, I don't suppose you have a picture or two that we could use to just sort of as we're getting the word out ahead of the show. And she sent me probably half a dozen very, very good boys and girls. And so we've been sort of they want you to come see the show, and you don't want to disappoint a cute dog,
God,
do you?
No,
like,
no.
Why? Well, like that, like, what kind of monster would want to do that? So, I mean, if you want to be a good person, I mean, I think you kind of need to go to the show Friday night.
Right.
Tickets are only $10. All of our proceeds are being donated to the Bangor Humane Society. It's a good time for a good cause, win-win for everybody involved. So come on out, have a good time.
And also, as we've explained, the next to last chance to see us at the beautiful Bangor Arts Exchange.
Wild to think about, right?
I know.
Yeah, we'll be doing that show on Friday, and then October 18th. Will be our final performance at the Bangor Arts Exchange, and I believe the final performance of any kind at the Bangor Arts Exchange. So we'll be shutting her down. So even if you can't get out this Friday, which by all means you absolutely should,
yes,
you should come out and join us as we say goodbye to the place that's been a really welcoming and lovely home to our group and many other organizations and events over the last few years.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little theater. First, we had AJ and Ben from the cast of Birthday Candles in last week. What did you think of the show?
Awesome.
Nice.
Awesome. Like, I had read for the show, so I had read the script, and look, it's an absolutely beautiful script. And, you know, it's one of those things where you always wonder how it's going to translate to the stage. But it's a dynamite cast. AJ Mooney, plays the lead. We'll give you just sort of a thumbnail sketch of the show. It's essentially, we follow this one woman, through, her birthdays over the course of her life. We start on her 17th birthday and we end, somewhere past the century mark. I don't remember the number exactly, but we basically follow her through her life as she grows up and has a family and goes through everything that comes with having a family, her relationships, you know, ebb and flow, kids and grandkids and great grandkids, all while we also watch her bake a cake on stage. So we watch the ingredients being measured. We watch everything being mixed, and it goes into the oven, and it's a whole thing, and it's really pretty spectacular. We've talked before. I'm a pretty soft touch, so I'm not necessarily the best sort of barometer for this kind of thing. But there were several moments when I was in tears, and you know, at the end of the show, I was far from the only person who needed a moment to collect myself before moving on with the rest of the evening, the opening night party and all those things. But yeah, the performances were spectacular. AJ is amazing and really did a wonderful job in what is an incredibly challenging role. She never leaves the stage, you know, so it's it's a shortish show. It's about 90 minutes, no intermission, but that just means you're out there for 90 minutes, and, you know, sort of adjusting how you grow making the subtle changes as people age, and I think all of the actors really did a great job with that sort of conveying that kind of vibe. Our friend Amy Giroux is excellent playing multiple roles. Ben Lehman is wonderful. And there are a couple, there's a Stephanie Colavito is very good. A couple of folks from farther afield, including one young man, I forget his name, but he was in he was also excellent in Clarkston here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A little while ago. But yeah, it's a dynamite ensemble. Production values wise, it's spectacular from design to execution. Low-key, one of the best sound designs that they've had in there in some time. I mean, Neil Graham always does good work, but this one really, really hammered it home, especially when you're trying to convey these sorts of time changes without relying on makeup or prosthetics or anything like that. It really does require yeoman's work from your production team, whether we're talking about sound or lighting or the set or whatever, and it all the pieces come together. Catherine Markey, I believe, is the woman's name, the director. She's the artistic director down at Stonington, the Opera House Arts down at the Stonington Opera House. I could go on and on because it really was just a phenomenal experience, just an absolutely gorgeous night of theater, a wonderful way to kick off their 51st season. And all I could say is I hope that everyone involved is really very deeply proud of the work that they've done, because it's an exceptional piece of theater.
Great. I can't wait to see it. Going weekend after this. the only weekend I'm home for 6 weeks.
I was going to say, so. You've got a lot going on.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I do. Cool. Well, that's wonderful. Looking forward to that, Penobscot Theater. Did you see some movies?
You know, you would think with all the Bangoring I did, I wouldn't have had time to do that.
I would think that.
And yet.
Wow.
No, I've got a couple. I got two of the movies for one, and I watched one at home.
Okay.
I went to see, and there was one movie that I expected to be good and was good, and there was one movie where I was like, well, the time is right for me to go see this, so let's see how it goes. Also good.
Nice.
Yeah, no, it's always nice to get a little surprise like that. But yes, I went to the movies to see, believe it or not, I went to see Transformers 1, which is a sort of, like an animated sort of prequel to the big explodey Michael Bay franchise. and then on Netflix, I saw the very, very powerful His Three Daughters. Mm. Which stars Carrie Coon, Elizabeth Olsen, and Natasha Lyonne, as three women dealing with the impending death of their ailing father. I don't know. What do you want? Hardcore New York family drama, or do you want space robot origin story?
Well, let's go with space robots, because I'm assuming that's the one that you didn't have high hopes for. Perhaps.
You know, I didn't. And again, and I say this as someone who grew up I had the toys. I watched the cartoon. Like I went hard for the Transformers in my younger days, and so. Like, I've always had a little bit of a soft spot, even for the Michael Bay movies, even though they are, shockingly dumb. but this was, I was pleasantly surprised. It's directed by Josh Cooley, written by Andrew Bear, Gabriel Ferrari, and Eric Pearson, with a really strong vocal cast. You have Chris Hemsworth, Brian Tyree Henry, Scarlett Johansson, Keegan-Michael Key, Steve Buscemi, Lawrence Fishburne, John Hamm.
Jeez.
Like, yeah, it was really a stacked cast. And it's basically, it's set on, always sounds like weird Mad Libs when I start talking about stuff like this. So it's set on Cybertron.
Of course
which is the home planet of the Transformers, for those who are unfamiliar. And it depicts the origins and early relationship between Optimus Prime and Megatron. That's Optimus Prime and Megatron. Although neither of them are called those things at the beginning of the movie.
Oh.
This is where we learn how they become.
I see. All right.
So we've got a fellow by the name of Orion Pax, that's Hemsworth, and M16, that's Brian Tyree Henry. And They're living in the innards of Cybertron. They're mining for Energon. Again, it sounds like Mad Libs. I know. I swear to God, all these things make sense if you watch the movie. So Cybertron's Energon, which is their primary energy source, has dried up due to circumstances that are never really established. There's some sort of invading force that has caused all this to go wrong. The Cybertron's defenders have all been lost in this battle, save for one that known as Sentinel Prime, who kind of rules the roost there in Cybertron. He keeps going out in search of something called the Matrix of Leadership, which is apparently the thing that gives all the Transformers their power.
Hmm.
We learn that there's such a thing as, they call them, I need to be very careful in my pronunciation, the Cogless, C-O-G-L-E-S-S, the Cogless. And these are sort of Transformers who can't transform. The cog is what allows you to transform. You don't have your cog, you wind up going into the mines, because what else are you going
to
do?
You have to go off half-cogged.
And then we see our buddies Orion and M16 are trying to make trying to make things better for themselves,
sure,
and for their and for those, yeah, around them. But as they start scratching at the surface, well, there's a lot more, dare I say it, than meets the eye with regard to the whole situation. And it isn't long before they're swept up into a whole bunch of sort of, we'll call it palace intrigue. Why not? And, you know, they meet some folks along the way who sort of help them in their path, including there's a small robot named B. That would be Keegan-Michael Key. Their former supervisor in the mines, that's Scarlett Johansson. And again, can't stress enough, Sentinel Prime, real guy, like, you know, he's the big gun, as they say. That's John Hamm at his John Hammiest.
I love it.
Yeah, and then just away we go, and we have this this sort of adventure type story. Again, like, I was like, this is like, I literally went because it had a showing at the right time for me. There were a couple of new releases this weekend, and I was like, well, this one, the timing works out, so I'll go and I'll see. And I gotta say, and we've talked about this before, I generally get wildly irritated when people are vocal, or like when people aren't quiet during a movie. Like, I don't care for it. My exception is when it is a movie aimed at kids, and the kids are the ones who are engaging,
right?
Because it's like, oh, like, this is a gigantic deal for you. Like, you are seeing something that is blowing your little mind. Like, you have a very close relationship with these characters, so of course you're excited to find out where they came from, and of course you're excited to see what's happening. And like, there was a young man behind me, I'm guessing 8 or 9, like, certainly not any older than that, who look, I'm not gonna say that this was the best day of his life, but this kid was having such a good time.
Nice.
That it was impossible for me to not have a good time. You know, so I'm sure that colored my experience somewhat. But I mean, as far as these movies go, like, this is, I mean, this easily tops certainly the vast majority of Bay's Transformer movies, maybe all of them. Like it's fun. It's you know, it's brisk. It's well paced. The vocal performances are excellent. It looks great. And it's got a reasonably interesting story to tell. So you put all those things together, you know, especially for kids movies, or for someone like me who has that sort of nostalgic kind of feeling towards the franchise, it's a really surprisingly pretty good time.
Excellent. All right, that's the story on Transformers. I'm guessing you were not yelling at your TV for the other film.
Well, you know, it's you know, this is not his, you know, it's not like there was his one daughter, his two daughters. This isn't IP we're talking about here. This is a very very thoughtful provocative kind of family drama. It's written and directed by Azazel Jacobs. As I mentioned, it stars Carrie Coon, Natasha Lyonne, Elizabeth Olsen. And basically, they're three estranged sisters who have come back to the New York City apartment of their ailing father to basically sit with him. They've made the decision to put him into hospice care, and they're basically waiting for the end. However, the dynamic between the sisters, specifically as far as their respective relationships with their father, as well as with one another, causes some tension, some complication. You've got so their father's name is Vincent. You've got Katie, who's the oldest, that's Carrie Coon, who lives across town but has been largely absentee. But she's a bit of a control freak, and so when she comes into the picture, she has a lot of ideas about how things should happen. You've got Christina, who is the middle. That's Elizabeth Olsen. She's the one who moved away. She lives farther away. She's got a husband and a kid, and she's dealing with the separation from her own family as she deals with this other familial issue. And then we have Rachel. That's Natasha Lyonne. She's the youngest. She also is the one who has a different mother. Although the relationship, the dynamic is even more complicated. Although I'm not going to go into the details for that because I think that's a pretty impressive reveal at one point. Basically, still lives in her father's apartment and spends her days gambling and smoking weed. Which, you know, it's Natasha Lyonne, so it's like I assume that's how she spends her days as a person. So we watch as these three women are sort of forced to rebuild and reconnect these relationships that have either crumbled with time or never really been extant in the first place, just because of the dynamics of their father's relationships with their respective mothers and how, and how all that has played out. That's kind of it. Like there's not a lot really beyond that in terms of like, quote unquote plot. This is very much a character study. You know, we're watching this family sort of deal with everything that they've neglected to deal with over the years. And so you have, each has their own coping mechanism. You know, one drinks too much wine, one smokes pot, one does what it seems weird to say an unhealthy amount of yoga, but that's what I would say about this. And you just watch as, this early sort of antagonism is just very ever so slowly, like the walls start to come down a little bit, like, you know, like little like holes in the dam. And so like the water start to trickle and then flow and then roar. And you just watch as these people, these adults, who haven't really had adult relationships per se, at least not in the way that maybe they would want and their father may have hoped. You watch as those sort of, they find the small moments amid the tension where it's like they find those little things that they have in common, the shared jokes, the common interests, what have you. And you watch as they, with the looming specter of their father's demise sort of overshadowing all of it, we watch as they kind of find one another again after, you know, kind of being separated by all these different factors over the years. It's really it's a beautiful movie. Like, it's hard. Like, it's not you're not gonna like whistle through the credits or anything like that. But in terms of the performances, like those are three like incredibly gifted performers, and they all are cast to their strengths, and they all bring a really incredible energy. And there are some really good supporting players. Their dad is played. There's actually a fairly extended stretch where it's like, are we even gonna meet the dad? But it's J.O. Sanders, who's always great.
Yeah.
You see him come on and you're just like, oh, fantastic. And he does, he doesn't have a lot of screen time, but he really does get a chance to shine, which is wonderful. But yeah, at the end of the day, like it's a very small movie, largely interior. There are a couple of like supporting players, but it's primarily these three women engaging with one another in a confined space and forced to deal with their issues and their concerns and try. Do they even want these relationships? Do these relationships continue after, you know, their father, who is really the primary thread tying them together, when he's gone? Do they go forward or do they just go their separate ways? And we watch as they come to those decisions in a way that's really very moving and really emotionally impactful. Again, soft touch. But yeah, this one got me a few times.
And that's on Netflix.
That is on Netflix.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Al.
Hey, my pleasure.
Appreciate you coming in to visit. And Bangor, thanks you for your efforts in keeping it a vibrant community here this weekend.
I'm not going to lie to you, Bangor. It's probably going to be a minute.
Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.
See you next week. Alan Adams, every Monday afternoon here on Downtown and Pass the Popcorn.